Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. Strap in.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a live edition of Voyen Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin. Sorry, I've been coughing. I apologize if that hurt anyone's ears. But we're glad to be here tonight. We're in the month of August. What that means is, Jonathan, let me introduce a fine co-host, Jonathan Miklos. Jonathan, how are you, first of all?
I'm wonderful. It's actually not raining for the first time in about 5 days.
Don't complain, man. We haven't had rain since Reagan was in office, I think. I don't know what's going on. We need some rain. We need some rain bad. But, man, what does August represent to you, my friend? Is it football time? Is it getting close?
I don't know what you're talking about, baby. It is football time. Teams are starting to report. NFL teams are at camp right now. I'm jazzed up.
That song right there, guys, is the Boys of Fall. So, Jonathan, our next show we'll do Sunday night. We'll start out with Boys of Fall. How does that sound?
Oh, I guess it's all right. The song still makes you tear up a little bit.
As long as what?
The song, it still makes me tear up a little bit. I mean, I'm not that far removed from being in high school now.
It does kind of make you tear up a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. Even I tear up from time to time when I listen to that song. It takes a lot to make me cry, man. But if I cry, it's either I'm sad and I'm okay, but if I'm mad and crying, you better go hide and run for cover because it's about to hit the fan up in here.
Like when your AC went out?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, guess what? Sunday night. Yeah. Sunday. You know, 2 weeks ago my air went out, the outside unit. This Sunday evening afternoon, about 5 o'clock, I guess it was, the motor at the furnace upstairs burned out. I had to get a new unit, which was another $1,700. Add on the $2,800 I spent on the other one. So you do the math. That's close to $5,000 that I didn't have. So anyway, I'm working with the warranty company, First American, and they're so bad. I called them Monday and told them, Jonathan, I'm getting a lot of background noise. Static. I don't know what you're doing, but you okay? Let me try to see if that's you. Yeah, that's Jonathan's phone. I'll bring him right back. But I call him Monday after the air went out, and I was already in process of getting it fixed. And I told him, I said, your company is so bad that I'm willing to pay $1,700 out of my pocket rather than deal with your customer service. Jonathan, that means you have pretty bad customer service, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
I'm still working with them to get money from the first time. So if you're buying a home for the first time, be careful of the warranty the seller puts on you because, man, they suck. And I've driven them crazy for about 2 weeks. I call, email every day. I'm up to now $1,300 getting back. Actually, I'm going to get more than that because I caught the person that said they showed up at my house in a lie and made him very uncomfortable, so they're going to raise it up. He said, yeah, I was at your house. I was like, well, by the chance, what do I look like? And he froze up, and I'm like, that's right, bitch. I said, you've been lying, so just go ahead and admit that you didn't come to my house. And so, you know, it's Atlanta, Georgia, guys, for everybody listening. And it's 185 degrees outside, and if you don't have air conditioning, you're in trouble. Luckily, I have a second unit downstairs, so I drug my bed downstairs to the middle of the floor of the living room. My dog loved it, by the way. He loves sleeping in the living room on a mattress. But then I remembered, hell, I've got to get this mattress back upstairs. And it's kind of hard to do. by yourself. But, Jonathan, some breaking news here in Way In Sports Talk. Just wanted your opinion on it. FanDuel has contacted me. Block Talk Radio has contacted me. And FanDuel has contacted them, and they want to sponsor our show for football season and pay us for that, so you'd get 50% of it. What do you think about that? What do you think about FanDuel? Should I even entertain the thought?
Well, I'm never one to turn down money. So I would say to entertain the idea would be a wise idea.
Okay. And they do know, you know, Block Talk Radio, and I talk to them, they list their top sports shows. And what do you know? Ours was in the top three, which they didn't tell me one, two, or three, but they said top three. So you go figure. You look at the numbers. You tell me where we are. I say we're number one. But anyway, advertisers approach them and say, hey, we want to advertise on a football program, and we're the one. How do I sound right now? Does the connection sound good on my part? Because yours is giving me a little trouble for some reason.
Oh, hold on, man. My headset must be acting up. You sound clear.
I'm crystal clear. See, FanDuel's not going to come around, Jonathan, if your headset's not clear. Do I need to have Way In Sports Talk send you a set of headphones?
Nah, I think I need a new cord for my headset. It's been time. I've had this for about 4 years now. But I sound better now, don't I?
Yeah, you sound a lot better. There's a 469 number in the studio right now. I think I know who it is. If you want to impress one, if not, you may be on a train. There he is, 469. Is this Sonny Clark?
Yo, it's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. No, I'm not on a train. I got the night off, and as soon as you put it up, I was like, I'm in. I'm ready for some talk.
Well, we're going to talk some football tonight, but have you been contacted by Block Talk Radio about FanDuel? Have you ever heard about them?
Yeah, I've never have, but, you know, my show is not as good as yours, so that's one of the reasons why they contacted you more than mine.
And you know,
so there you go.
You know that's not true.
I mean, as far as listenership, yes, it is true, and I'm okay with that, because my little audience pretty much here is just right here in my Rowlett area. That's what my audience is, because of what we do with the play-by-play and stuff like that. So, I'm actually very happy with that. But man, I love what's going on. We're kicking all around the NFL on Sunday morning. We do the AFC North on Sunday at 10 o'clock, so we're going to kick into that. That's going to be a good division to talk about.
I'm going to give Sonny some love right here. Jonathan, you're aware of Sonny and Cuervo's show that do every Sunday morning, and it's even better when football has started, when you know you wake up Sunday morning before you play those sets. You listen to Sonny and Cuervo. And I'm getting a lot of background noise from somebody's phone.
God, let me just switch it.
Oh, no, it might be my headset.
No, it's you. You're good, Sonny. It's Jonathan. So I'm going to mute him for a minute. Jonathan, fix that phone if you can, buddy. I have a headache, and I don't want to have to kill you tonight. I'm joking. Jonathan's too young to kill. Jonathan's
so
a
it's
great
not my
co-host,
headset,
by the way.
It's not my headset, then?
Not this time. I mean, we all
okay,
have
cool.
headsets. We all have some problems with them sometimes. So I'll bring Jonathan back on in a second. But I was talking about your show. I like it better. It's good now, don't get me wrong. But it's a lot better once we get into the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, we can all talk about, you know, the only thing that we can really do is speculate on what we think is going to happen, more so during the weeks when we're seeing what's happening, and then we can pinpoint on other things that we see, more so than what we think are going to happen. That's why during the season is so much more fun. I mean, I like doing the breakdowns because I like to see if I'm anywhere close, which, A lot of times I'm not, but a lot of times I am. So I'm kind of like, I'm probably at about 70 to 80% of my predictions on what I do. So, you know, I'm no worse than any of those clowns over at the big, you know, so-called experts over at the NFL channel or wherever it is.
Mm-hmm. And I've been keeping track, and Jonathan has too, and we do point spreads on our games, don't we, Jonathan? And we're in the 70% range with against the spread, which is ungodly.
Yeah. So and Cuervo's show is starting up not this weekend, but next weekend on campus with Cuervo is going to be kicking off on Friday or Saturday morning, one of the two. Not this weekend, but next weekend. So we're getting ready to kick in. College football's about ready to go off.
Well, it's going off. Practice has started. Jonathan, I mean, have you tracked the show? I know you've listened to the show. You've been a co-host for a while, but you notice we go about over 70% against the spread.
Yeah, no, we especially bowl season. Bowl season, you were phenomenal. I was a little more hot and cold, and I would say the past couple of years we've done an excellent job at sticking the wins and doing a pretty darn good job at it.
Yeah, now I'm getting background from Sonny's phone. Guys, get your phones out of your butts and join me so we can talk. I hate having to mute people. So fix the phones. And if mine's going bad, guys, please tell me because I can't hear it. You probably can't hear yours going bad. So if you hear mine doing anything, let me know any kind of noise because one thing I do get messages from Block Talk Radio sometimes is about the sound quality. So we have to make sure about that as much as we possibly can. But, Sonny, I'll bring you back on in just a second, buddy. I know Quinn's in the studio. But Jonathan, college football is here, and man, I'm excited. The hype is back. There's some teams way overrated. And just a question, did the AP poll come out yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to say it's coming out soon. I know they just released that AP top 100 set.
I've just got some breaking news that's not good for Auburn. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Javon Robinson dismissed from the program. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Do you understand how big that is?
Doesn't say why.
Did not. Malzahn said Robinson did not meet my standards or being an Auburn football player. And there's going to be no distractions with the team this year. Auburn's returning starter was alone at the top of Auburn's depth chart at running back entering camp, and it's one of the team's best players. My God, we got a young kid out there that's his backup, but that means I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen, but how in the world, Sonny, do you get kicked off the team when fall camp's just right here? That's the best player, offensive player on their team.
Well, I think, you know what? I got to give it to Auburn. They're not letting the status of the player consume whether or not this guy's going to play or not. And as a guy that wants to see that as far as – I mean, they're football players, and I get it, and I understand that's what they do. And I also understand that talent hits the field. But at the same time, you got to have a little, you know, integrity on who you are and what you do. And if you're just a bum out there doing what you should not be doing, you should be dismissed, which means, I mean, everybody knows they're not going to school for their education. I mean, if you want to blow smoke up like, people's butts to make them think that that's why you're at school, that's fine. Go ahead and do so. I mean, Netflix only has a second chance show on Netflix about guys who get in trouble and they play football. Yeah, and you know, so the simple fact of the matter is that they can give a rat's fat ass if you're in basket weaving, but as long as you're passing it, you're okay. But if anybody really wants to honestly believe that those kids are out there for their education, you can live in your fantasy world. Now, Auburn saying, you know what, if you're not going to obey the rules or whatever the case may be here, just because you're the big superstar, we're going to let you go anyway. That takes balls to do right before the beginning of the season and to get going.
And you see Alabama with Cam Robinson, they didn't even suspend him for getting arrested with felony. You know, I mean, he must have done something bad, or his head was in the wrong place. Jonathan, I mean, does this mean Auburn has to go with a running quarterback in Franklin III, or does this mean they have to play defense and pass the football all over the place? Because Kerryon Johnson was a freshman last year. He's quick. They have Cameron Petaway, and they have a couple of big fullbacks. But to lose a running back like Javon Robinson is, I don't know what you do.
No,
I understand how big of an issue this is. You know, this is definitely a huge problem for Auburn. Robinson was, I mean, he was a playmaker, and to lose somebody like that who's not only a playmaker but provides some leadership, it is definitely tough. So,
how do you recuperate? I mean, we're not deep at running back, and I can't even remember if we brought a running back in this year in our recruiting class. Could you pull that up? Could you see if Auburn brought any running backs up?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Because I hate to kind of
take. And I'm going to let you do that, Jonathan, while your phone – well, you work out that phone issue. And, Sonny, I'm hearing a lot out of yours, too. So I'm going to cut you both off for a minute so I can talk and hear. Guys, call in from a landline if you can, or do something, because it's just you can't hear it. So whatever you got to do it. But breaking news, Javon Robinson has been kicked off of Auburn's team. The running backs, I don't know. They have Javon Robinson, Kerryon Johnson. They have C.J. Tolbert, Malik Miller. I don't even know who they have. But this is not good. You have to have depth at running back. And I just don't get it, Jonathan. I mean, do you see anybody in there that can fill those shoes?
I don't. You might have to go with Franklin III and try and get – that's the only way you can probably get some running game going.
Well, I mean, it's not really effective if you don't have a running back. You know, like the quarterback's very effective if he can run, if the backfield can run. But if you get in a situation to where, you know, you can't run the football and then they just look at the quarterback as a running back, you have problems. Or you're going to have to bring in Jeremy Johnson and just go to the no huddle, just throw it around kind of thing. And Jonathan, you just call back in. So – is that you?
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on tonight with the phones, but we need to figure it out. It may be Blog Talk Radio. It may not be yours. But you play Clemson in less than a month. You play Clemson. Quinn's here. I want to bring Quinn in and see what he thinks. Quinn, I'm bringing you in. I mean, what is going on in Auburn, man, to kick your running back off the team a month before the season starts?
Well, he must have done something. I don't know. I'm curious, but guys are going to have to step up.
We're screwed.
I don't know about that.
This is a 5-7 team right now because of that. I'm telling you, there's no running back that can carry the load like that. Kerryon Johnson's about $120, and he can't even stay healthy. We got a fullback, Chandler Cox and Cameron Petaway, but you can't win without a running back, and Auburn has none. Running
but
back you turned into dumpster you. That's what it turned into, a dumpster fire. That's what's going to happen.
They'll have to split up. They'll have to figure something out.
Well, they're going to have to, but they're going to get their ass whipped while they're doing it. I mean, Clemson, you're going to get beat by 30 points because of that. If you can't run the football in the SEC, you can't win. And I don't know what Gus is thinking. I don't know if he's trying to make an excuse for if they do bad this year to keep his job. But you don't kick Javon Robinson off the team unless you say why. And that's the thing. There's no reason why. I mean, if he raped somebody, shot somebody, did something, I get it. But what did he do for you to kick him off the team? As a coach, Sonny, I know Sonny commended that, but I think it may be stupid. In a way, if you don't have a backup plan, if he didn't do anything bad, if you got a bad attitude, deal with it. As long as he can run the football. Sonny, comments?
Charvin, they had to get – if you're kicked off the team – this has nothing to do with attitude because, like you said, if this kid's got any kind of talent, they got to keep him on the football field. If he's not – I mean, if he, but when you're kicked off of a major program, that's telling you he did something beyond just rules or something like that. And if it was rules, that's huge too. I like the move because it says, listen, we're the ones in control of what's going to be going on here.
Well, see, I've been waiting a year for this team to hit the field. And to get this information day one, what do you, I mean, without any information is
– it's going to come out,
Charvin. It is suicide.
Charvin, it's going to come out, and it's going to be big. It's not going to be small. Now, look at what's going on across the country, whether it's Baylor, whether, you know, stalking charges. Still, there's so much crap going on at Baylor, you know. So when you got a when you have a program that can be somewhat clean, and I don't want to say squeaky clean because there's no college football team out there that's squeaky clean. Sorry, there's not. There's a skeleton somewhere. But if you are kicked off of a major team within college football, it's one of two things. Either your grades aren't there, or, I mean, so you couldn't find anybody to cheat for you, or you're in a lot of trouble off the football field. I mean, so, you know, it's real simple. Whatever the problem is going on, that guy's too big of a talent for him not to be on the field.
He said, Gus said, there will not be any distractions this year. And he's laying the law down. And you know what could happen, guys? And I know Baylor Stidham, he's the number two dual-threat quarterback. He left Baylor. He was at Auburn's practice today. But you never know, Jonathan, when somebody will transfer right now. I don't know if there's a deadline that's a good running back that will come to Auburn right now and jump in this offense because
but
I don't know what to do.
I'll
I'm
say
saying
this.
Start Jeremy Johnson.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
Charvin,
I mean,
I'll say that. Okay.
Say it.
We can't judge the running game until they get out there.
Mm-hmm.
If the offensive line is filling big enough holes, we don't know – we have no clue what the running game could be. You're overreacting.
No, I'm telling you, I know this. I know the running back situation at Auburn, and it's not good. I mean, Peyton Barber left last year, and who else left? Rock Thomas transferred, so there's two people left. Javon Robinson, the dumbass he is, gets kicked off the team. Now we got a guy that looks like Arnold off Different Strokes running the football. And there's nobody to back him up. I mean,
you had the kid you brought in from Madison. You have Malik Miller. He's a true freshman. And he's a sizable kid. I want to say he is 5'11", 220. So, I mean, he's a good-sized kid. He could play some ball. But you had the kid you brought in last
Tolbert.
Yeah, Tolbert, who, I mean, he was, what, Mr. Alabama 4A? Got the red shirt a year. You know, I mean, because here's the thing, being a Florida State fan, Dalvin Cook's a great running back. When Dalvin Cook was a freshman, we did not anticipate him contributing because in high school he was a fullback. He was Sonny Michel's fullback. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get out of Tolbert and Malik. I know Tolbert's only 5'7", but we've seen some pretty good undersized running backs. I think Gus has done a good job getting running back on campus.
It means 5'5", if that's what they listed him at. Right, Sonny? 5'5", that's what he is.
He's a shorty.
Midget from midget wrestling.
Is that the one that was sitting behind the line, you know, behind the offensive line, no one could see him?
Yeah, no, that was Michaela. So, Quinn, why do you think this is not a big deal? I mean, like, who do you think could step up and do anything? And who's a quarterback?
No, I never said it wasn't a big deal, but what I'm saying is don't overreact because we have no clue. We have no clue what these running backs could do until they get out there. is what I'm saying. And we have an experienced offensive line in behind
the
good offensive
That's your job.
Line. You never know.
Well, calm me down, Quinn. That's what you're here to do is calm me down because I'm pissed right now because this running back, I mean, physically is the real deal. And that's what I was looking forward to with John Franklin III. But here's the deal, guys. We do have Chandler Cox, which if you watch the spring game, he's a fullback. But, man, he could run like a running back. Petaway, I'm just going to wait and see. You know, Gus is smarter than I am. But, again, do you leave a guy on a team that's causing problems? He didn't show up at practice today. We know that. But do you leave a guy on a team that's going to cause problems or distractions, or do you try to make it? I don't know. Sonny says he gives him kudos, but dang, I mean, he must have done something like fought a player, got hurt a player, screwed the player's girlfriend or mother or something like that. I don't know what he did, but we're going to find – I need to find out what he did.
And think of this. He could have been a Duke Williams 2.0 and screwed up chemistry and screwed up the other running backs. Look at how he screwed up Jeremy Johnson's head last year after hearing all what went on with him and Jeremy. Like Gus probably learned from that, and he said, well, if it's going to mess up the team chemistry, then I have to have him gone.
Sonny, hey, did you watch the show Last Chance U? Yes, Sonny, go ahead.
Hey, Tarvin, just really quick. The statement is huge. Listen to what the coach is saying. He's not going to have any distractions, okay? He's not talking about the distraction right now that got him kicked off, which means we're going to hear about this in 2 or 3 months. You know what I'm saying? There's something that's going on off the field with this, okay? And the reason why I say that is they're not talking about it, which means that whatever is going on, something's being looked at, whether it's the police, whether it's the school, whether it's the university police. Something's going on there that will become a distraction once this season starts.
Well, you don't,
okay?
Yeah, but you don't kick somebody off without them being proven guilty, though.
No, sure you do. I mean, come on. Depending on what the news is coming down, I mean, geez, if you know you're driving into a semi truck, sooner or later you're going to have to turn off, whether or not you think you're going to hit him or not. Okay, it's a game of chicken, and when it comes to distractions, Auburn doesn't want them during the season, so they're going to get rid of them. Now, that having been said, doesn't mean that they're not going to talk about the news on the reason why they got rid of them later on. The fact that they're not talking about what's going on as far as the suspension is concerned or the kicking off of is concerned is huge. That means something is being kept quiet until it's going to break, and they know about it. I mean, we can talk about college. These colleges know what's going on in these schools. Okay,
you can't tell me any different. You know what could have happened, guys? And if he found out that he was dealing with an agent or anything like that, and it could be an agent, and a distraction come up halfway through the season, kind of like the Cam Newton thing, Gus may have more information than we do and just said, you know what, go ahead and get out of here. We're not dealing with it. Right now is about
absolutely it could be something like that because he's going to steer it away from Auburn. That's what he's doing. Whatever the reason why. Listen, they're not kicking them off because of grades. They come out and say it. Whatever they're talking about, the reason why they let him go is big. Okay, whether it's an NCAA violation, whether he's messing around with an agent and the agent's nose got too big and poked into something, it's the talent with him being on the team is going to be a distraction to this team once week one starts. We're going to hear about this story here in a couple of weeks.
But what about the four players that got arrested, Sonny, that, you know, they handled it internally, no punishment? That's kind of a distraction. Those guys are good to go, but it concerns me when the best player, or so-called, it may not be the best player now, the best player that I thought at running back gets kicked off, and Cam Robinson over there with an AK-47 and some crack, and he's going to be lining up against USC. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't get it. And see, whatever. See, and that tells me if this guy with the crackhead and the gun guy is back on the team and this guy isn't, that tells me it's something big. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you're not going to kick a guy off the team right before the season.
Auburn isn't Alabama. Gus isn't Nick Saban.
Auburn isn't. Thank you, Quinn. Thank you. You're right. Gus Malzahn does suspend players, and this is ballsy. If he and you know what, Jonathan, you know as well, the kids that age, you and Quinn are closer to that age. One player, even though he's talented, just like Duke Williams last year, can be a cancer to a team and a distraction and cause everybody. You might as well get them out. Auburn played a lot better last year without Duke Williams, didn't they, Jonathan?
Yeah,
I would say, yeah, and I think you're right. When there's somebody who's clearly a chemistry issue in the locker room, you are better off just getting rid of it. It doesn't matter how talented they are. Well, but we saw it at an NFL level with Terrell Owens.
And here's a kid that got his grades changed in high school to be eligible for Auburn, and then the NCAA declared him ineligible. He went to JUCO. He came back. He really didn't do anything last year, honestly, at Auburn. Quinn, do you remember him doing anything big? I mean,
the bowl game.
Well, he ended up coming on, it seemed, towards the end of the year. I mean, he was really good. He was a beast, but yeah, whatever the reason
yards is. Yeah, but I think we have to talk about, and this is not just the Auburn show. This just broke during the show. But, Jonathan, do you think John Franklin III has to be the quarterback now to make that offense even? Just say if you don't have that stud running back, if you have good running backs, and John Franklin III is faster than Nick Marshall. And, Sonny, if you watch that show, Last Chance U, you'll understand what I'm talking about. This kid can fly and do it all. I think they go with him right off the bat. What do you think, Jonathan?
Well, I think you have to go with the player that gives you the best chance to win, whether that's Jeremy, whether it's John. I think at this point, if you're worried about damaging a quarterback because of the weapons surrounding him, you throw out your sacrificial lamb, whoever that might be. It might be the quarterback that I know you weren't high on last year, Sean White. It might be Jeremy Johnson, who really fell away.
Sean White
expectations. Well, Sean White might suck, but here's the thing. If you don't think that this team is ready to compete, why throw JF3 out there to die? So, throw Jeremy and Sean out there. Let them have their – because you're replacing both of your tackles too. We talk about how good the offensive line is. You're replacing your left and right tackle. I mean, that's a big issue. It's definitely a situation to monitor. I know a lot of people think that JF3 is the leader in the clubhouse. We'll see how that plays out. Maybe his dual threat capabilities help limit a lack of weakness in the running game and your lack of experience at the tackles because he can get away from guys. And this is definitely something, though, to where I think you're going to have to weigh, do you want to what's better, winning six games or just kind of punting the ball?
Yeah, I think, I think this is a team that can win right now. And the offensive line, if you get the right chemistry, but don't be surprised, guys, if the next couple of days Auburn doesn't bring in a running back from Illinois or somewhere, hopefully not, but somebody experienced is pretty good. Quinn, do you have any idea of any running backs that could come? And I don't even know the cutoff time of when you can come and actually play this year.
Yeah, I have no clue, but it's going to be really interesting if Stidham ends up coming to Auburn, and if he does, how fast could he learn the playbook? I could see him maybe not playing the first or second game, but I could see Gus playing him like the third, fourth, or fifth week. But I think I really do trust Gus and whoever he puts out there. I would want it to either be JF3 or Jeremy just because they have more of a dual threat option than Sean does. But, I mean, the good thing is Clemson is replacing a lot on defense. So it might help.
Yeah, but, I mean, the running game is what gets it going. No matter what team you are, running the football, especially Auburn, that running downhill will get you going. But you know what? Kerryon Johnson is a bad running back. He's a bad man. He's about 200 pounds. He can fly. So I'm just going to not panic now. I was panicking. Y'all saw me in a panic.
Yeah.
Y'all were laughing at me over here. So we'll see. Guys, it's just not the time of year. This stuff happens before the season. Like during the summer and like the winter months and stuff, not right now, a month before. So Sonny may be right. Something is going to hit the fan in about a month or so. Gus knows, and he don't want it to be around to distract his team when they're 5-0 is probably maybe what he's talking about.
Not meeting expectations can mean a lot of things. And, I mean, I remember when Les Matthews got rid – do you remember he got rid of Tyrann Mathieu? I mean, I was just rolling around trying to find some more information. I came across – but when Les Miles did it, it was crazy getting rid of Mathieu, and look what he's doing now. So it's really Miles says it was one of the worst things he did. So, you know, I may be wrong in this. I mean, because according to Les Miles, I mean, with him getting rid of Mathieu, it was just attitude problems and stuff like that. So I may be wrong, but, man, not before 2 weeks before your week number one. If you have someone not meeting expectations, you get rid of them before you're going through spring practices and all this other stuff.
Well, it's a distraction. I don't know about meeting expectations, but it's
but now it's gonna panic Auburn fans even more. They don't trust any of the quarterbacks. Probably a good percentage of them want Gus gone. Don't like JF Thuerien now because of that documentary. So now it's gonna be even more
so
fire
have you watched
on the fan base.
Have you watched the documentary?
Not yet, but I've heard and people hate.
Well,
I've heard like people hated it, and I'm like, dear God, people.
Well, look, JF3 and Jonathan's more familiar with him than anybody. He left Florida State because he was pissed off that they brought in the kid from Notre Dame. He's used to starting. He got to that school, that junior college, and thought he was going to start immediately, but that offense he went to was more of a pass spread offense, throwing it short passes and everything. He did get to play his last game. He played the first half. He had like 400 yards and 6 touchdowns, Jonathan. And he's done all this work with Michael Vick. JF3 is the quarterback, man. I'd bet anybody money right now he's the quarterback of Auburn University.
I would be
your
confident.
Guess, real quick.
You know how much I like him. He racked up a lot of accolades in high school. You know, he's a Florida kid. He's definitely somebody that was well-respected and well-liked. And I do think he's very talented. I mean, the year he redshirted was the year Florida State won national title, and he actually, you know, received accolades for being the top scout team player. And he was the one who played scout team quarterback when Florida State was getting ready for Nick Marshall. So I do think this is somebody that could step in and play well for Auburn football. I really do, and I wish him nothing but the best.
And the good
Sonny,
thing
did you
is,
watch the show? Hello, Quinn. Sonny, did you watch the show?
Which one? You were on Netflix?
Yeah.
No, I have not watched it, I've got a problem with it. I got a huge problem with it.
Mm.
I'm going to tell you the reason why, because it just completely proves that college football is not about education. It just completely proves that if you can go and, you know, serve a 1 year at a college, no one's taking college seriously when you're in the football program. That's my problem with it. I mean, just come out and say that you don't give a rat's fat ass about the school and you're great. if they come out and say that, I have a little more respect for this thing. But with that show, it's saying right there, we can give a rat's ass whether or not they're doing well in school or not. We want to get them back up there, not because of school, but because of football. And yeah. you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But when you are just putting that show, this is quite possibly the best show. I haven't watched it yet, but the best show to show the business part of what college football is all about.
And let me tell you, these guys are dumb. I mean, they're lazy. And that's the key. They're not dumb. They are lazy. And that explains why they're not in Division I anymore for the most part. Franklin III went to every class, made straight A's, whatever. 99% of these kids told you they hate football. They don't want to go to class. They didn't even come with a pencil or a piece of paper to class. I mean, you watch this show, it really shows you how lazy these guys are. And if you expect them to make it in Division I football, if you think you're going to Alabama, you think you're going to Florida State or Notre Dame, you're not going anywhere. And these kids are surprised because the only schools that came a knocking was Southeast Missouri State. But Franklin III had the best deal. He went to Auburn, and he actually seemed like he had his head on straight. But Quinn, these other guys were just dumb. I mean, I'm talking about dumb.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, just today – a Notre Dame football player was deemed ineligible by the school. He didn't have the grades, so he can't play football this year. He's off the team.
Couldn't get a D average.
No, it's different. Notre Dame, man, they're a lot tougher on athletes than most schools are.
They got basket weaving classes there too.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they make it a little bit easier, but I can guarantee you it's easier to get into Alabama, into some of these other schools than it is to get into Notre Dame. But yeah.
Listen, college football and colleges, when it comes to the players, are so corrupt.
Business.
I said it.
I
don't care. It is all about business. And they really honestly think that, here's the problem. They got enough stupid people in this country that actually believes they go there for school. And they don't. They go there for football. And all you got to do is listen to them talk. Listen, I've been around many athletes, okay? And I'm going to tell you, and it's a knock, but it's just the truth. 80% of them are dumber than I am. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're dumber than me, you're in a lot of trouble. I'm just going to tell you, when you're dumber than me, you got a lot of trouble.
So does that
say something
about the pros that are 30 years old?
Well, they're dumb, too.
Absolutely. They're dumb, too. There's only so many Peyton Mannings, Troy Aikmans, and the smart guys. The guys with the brains, obviously playing the quarterback because they're the only one that can read the damn playbook. And if you're a wide receiver, all you got to do is go down on a go route or a slant. I mean, give me a break. If you're the quarterback, you've got to know all this stuff. If you're just a receiver, you just need to go with a slant or try to break away. They're dumb. Every one of them.
I think JUCO football should be done with. I think it should be. They got in.
It should be about school.
That team got in a fight. They were before two games before the playoffs or a game before. They got in a fist fight that was so bad that they suspended that team. This team won several championships in a row. And guys, I forgot to mention one thing. And Jonathan, look this up if you can, and tell me because my hands are tied. Baylor running back Cameron Martin, he's a freshman. He transferred to Auburn. Is he eligible to play now? And that guy is a stud.
Oh, I
Cameron
think he
Martin.
Is. I think he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And Tarvin. I was going to say that JUCO idea of if a guy wants to do JUCO, that they get rid of all the football programs and they just have to focus on school for a year.
Absolutely.
I actually think that's a good idea.
Yeah, but it's like they come to this school to get their 2.5 because like they said, they force him through. This coach, all he cares about is winning. He's going to win his JUCO rings while he fakes these grades and he gets these kids that shouldn't even be on a second grade reading level into Auburn, into Florida State. But Franklin III, guys, and believe it or not, you know, you look at that junior college, it's a real smart kid. He's very smart. He took it serious. He knew he was in prison for 1 year. He knew it.
Well,
I'm going to prison for 1 year, and I'm coming out, and I'm redeeming myself.
Let me piggyback off of that. There's an award given out to Florida high school seniors called the Brian Piccolo Scholar Athlete Award. They don't give that to just any idiot. And Franklin won it his senior year. He was one of the five recipients of that award. And most of the kids that get that award go to top-flight educational institutions. So I'm a full believer that he's a very bright kid. And you're right, Cam Martin is eligible to play this year.
Praise God. Quinn, there he is. I think Gus is like, you know, I've got three running backs right here. You know, Javon, you're a distraction. Your attitude's bad. Get the hell out of here. So trust in Gus. And if you think he should be fired, you're an idiot anyway. So I've already said that on the show. If you think he should be fired. Sonny, I feel better. Cameron Martin, he comes from a Baylor school where they were the raping people. He's coming to Auburn. Maybe he can straighten up. What do you think?
Well, if he's coming to Baylor, then he's probably the only one that's not getting arrested or with the stalking charges. It is unbelievable down here. And I want to tell you right now, I'm about an hour and 15 minutes northeast of Waco. Okay, and the stories, all the news has been going out with all the things. There's a stalking charge on one of them. The DA's looking to get involved with this thing. Let me tell you something. When the DA's getting involved with it, they're pushing those university cops to the side and saying, forget it, we'll take care of it. And when the DA's going to get involved with this, someone's going to jail. And I'm going to tell you, it's finally being done correctly is what it should have been done, 2 years ago when all this nonsense started over here at Baylor.
Yeah, it's just going to get worse. And
I'm glad these guys, like at least Auburn is setting the example, and Jimbo, same thing. He's like, look, Auburn and some of these schools are bigger than one player. We're not going to let you rule, and we're a team here. We're bigger than – no man's bigger than the team. And I guess that's what Gus is trying to do here. You got to change the attitude of a team if you're going to win.
And
right,
Texas – well, Texas suspended DeAndre McNeil. He's a wide receiver for team violations, which usually means it's also an NCAA violation as well, usually.
Man, Texas sucks anyway. So it doesn't matter who they
choose. Of course they do. They got Charlie Strong as the head coach. They never should have hired him in the first place.
Yeah.
Sonny, you remember us getting jumped on when we bashed Texas for hiring him? Everybody thought we were a bunch of haters and didn't know what we were talking about.
Absolutely. I remember like it was yesterday, Tarvin.
Yeah. He's not a good head coach.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you. You're going to see. This Baylor thing. You're going to see a lot of news about more arrests happening because these colleges and universities, they got to be on the up and up because if they're going to be caught, you know, hiding things and scandals here and there, it's going to kill the reputation of the college, which is never really any good in the first place. But you don't need anything else on top of it. You're going to see a lot of these. You're going to see more and more about violations and stuff like that. And also, I'm going to tell you straight out, and this happened, and it's one of the reasons why I don't listen to Mike and Mike. One day I turned this stupid show on, and they're talking to one of these guys about, you know, the things that are happening in college football, you know, and the way that you stop this nonsense, okay, is that, and all the problems that they have, is stop the underage drinking. I'm going to tell you right now, if you put an ending to that, I know everybody's going to say you're never going to stop it, but I'm going to tell you right now, all these fraternities, they have parties on the weekend. Guess what they got? They got alcohol everywhere. Well, if they have someone within the college at these places, and it will stop that stuff, and it will be, and I know it goes on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not naive. But if colleges are really, truly looking to stop the nonsense that goes on at these colleges, they'll stop the underage drinking. And once they do that, I think it's 70% of all their problems go away.
Well, Sonny, this is university problems all over, and I can tell you what, and Jonathan could tell you the same thing. It's not going to stop Jack. They'll go somewhere else. They'll find other places to go. They'll get fakes. They'll find ways to still drink. And then the people that are 21 or older, I mean,
yeah, there has to be,
it's not
going to
stop those people
those,
from doing
Quinn,
stuff either.
Quinn, there has to be consequences. Like if you get caught underage
yeah.
drinking, there has to
yeah,
be severe consequences
agree.
With that. Like you're kicked out of school, period, like for a semester or something. Or, you know, that's the thing. Jonathan, I mean, I've gone to big schools and the frat houses and stuff. Man, there's so much beer there. You could drown, couldn't you? I mean, I've been to some of those. I'm a mile down the road walking, and I smell beer. I mean, well, that's how much beer. So 80% of the people are underage drinking, and Sonny, you'll never be able to stop that.
Oh, I know you'll never stop it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that naive because I know what the situation is. But if they really and truly want to get it under control, that's fine. But here's the thing. That's fine. They're still going to do it. Just don't do it on our property. If you're going to go off a college property and do it all day long, great. Do it all day, but you're not going to do it on our property, within the fraternity, within the university. I'm not going to say you're going to stop it, but that's one of the things the university is going to get busted on. Sooner or later, there's going to be a rape, there's going to be a big time, something's going to happen that's big, okay? And if they don't stop it on the property of the colleges, whether it be a fraternities or wherever the case may be, that's what it's going to continually be a problem. I'm not saying you're going to stop it. I'm not naive. I may be 49 years old. I know what kids do. But if the colleges are truly worried or they truly want to stop it, they can stop it. They're just not doing it. And you can't tell me any differently that they can't stop it, because they can, because all they got to do is have someone within the university show up at one of these things, and it'd be like, I don't know if you ever seen Animal mm-hmm. House, but when the dean walks in, everybody starts hiding the beer, that's what would end up happening if they had officials from the school show up at these places when the parties happen. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. I'm telling you right now, it won't, but they won't.
Yeah, my sister went to University of Minnesota, and I don't really ever worry, but the 4 years she was there, she would go out and party on the weekends, and it would scare the crap out of me.
Those Northerners don't know how to party.
No, they really don't.
But no, your sister's safe, trust me. Your sister's safe, Quinn.
There's not a lot of things going on up there in Minnesota.
All you can do is
no. The golfers.
52,000 kids go to University of Minnesota. It's actually a really, really big school.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, guys, this is an issue you're never going to resolve. They tried prohibition, it failed. Let's not try that again. I mean, if you want to try and do it on a college level, I guess that's fine. You know, the way the society's kind of going, this drinking is part of the norm, and we there's just nothing you can do here. You know, you can try to be that social warrior and make the change, but you're going to need a majority to make the change. The majority's not going to make the change. Let's just go ahead and level that right now.
Yeah, but hey, just a minute ago I talked about Stidham visiting Auburn. He
mm-hmm.
will have to sit out a year, which tells me, you know, you want more than one quarterback, which tells me, Jonathan, that Gus is not set on one quarterback, even Franklin, really, yet. I mean, you bring Stidham in, he's probably a starter at Auburn next year if Franklin doesn't doesn't do well. Just want to throw that out. Week one's coming up, guys, and we're a month away. And I want Sonny real quick to give us an update, what's going on in NFL camps. And, Jonathan, I'll let you go after him. But, Sonny, what have you heard? What's some big stories coming out right now?
Well, the big story down here in Dallas is the backup quarterback ends up breaking a leg. So now they have no experience. And just a week ago when they were talking about Nick Foles being available, they had no interest. Now all of a sudden, now they're interested in Nick Foles. So it's really interesting about what's going on down here in Dallas as far as right here in B-Town. Because and then they got the Ezekiel Elliott thing as he tweaked a hammy. That's always no good, never mind the fact that he's being still charged with a domestic situation that's going on over there. So down here is big, big, big time. Down here in Dallas, because they're having a lot of off the field problems and injuries down here.
How about Trent Richardson, man? I mean, good Lord. I mean, people thought he was going to be a star. He gets cut already. I mean, he's like that guy in Major League when he wakes up outside in the bed and he's like, shit, I've been cut already.
I've been cut already.
So, Sonny, I have a question. Who's your NFL team? Because I've never been able to figure out who you root for.
Jacksonville.
I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, and I even put them in second in the division of the AF South this year. I am a Jacksonville Jaguar realist. They've sucked for the last 8 years, and now they're getting a little bit better, so I'm slowly moving them up there. And then in NFC South, they should be able to do it. They're going to have to contend with the Colts as usual. But really, in reality, if they're as good as I think that they're going to be with the talent they've been picking up, I'm not a fan of their coach, but he seems to be able to get the guys to play for him.
Yeah.
And he's a Bears fan like you, Quinn.
They're horrible. They're god-awful. They're going to end up last in their division. You watch.
Okay.
No, Detroit will.
Probably.
Quinn, your Bears, man, they do suck. What do you think about them this year?
I think they're going to be quite a bit better than last year. Their schedule isn't too tough. The defense, they really improved the front seven. I think they'll do better than a lot of people think.
How are they going to score?
Well,
you might have something there. I can understand it.
I think it's funny how everyone likes to bash Cutler and stuff. I find it really hilarious. Especially
well, they have
Bears
every right
fans.
To.
Nah, I find it funny. You know who the Bears have had in the past? Grossman, Orton, pure trash, pure garbage. They can't even – those guys couldn't even be able to hold Cutler's jock strap. I remember the years when Grossman was at quarterback, Orton, when there was Cordell Stewart, Jim Miller,
Jim McMahon.
All those hot trash guys, and the defense had to carry him the whole way. Yeah, I remember those guys. They can't.
Yeah, but how many years has Cutler been there in Chicago? How many years do you give Jay Cutler to suck? I mean, really. I mean, yeah, obviously they're stuck with the contract. I mean, he's getting paid $22 million. I mean, so he's not worried about playing. I'm sorry. This is the worst guy that you could give that much money to. I mean, he already had a bad attitude before he got there. Then they gave him the money. And now it's even worse. He's got a hot wife, a lot of money, great car, great house. shit, I probably wouldn't do anything either. But you look at the Chicago Bears schedule, they have a schedule where they could kick some ass if they had it. There's some winnable games on that schedule if they're a good football team. They won 6 football games last year. They're going to be lucky to win 6. I got them at 4 wins, and that's just because they're going to get hammered because they're not going to be able to score enough in order to beat teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cowboys, the teams that can score like the Colts.
Okay.
The Jaguars are going to score some points this year, and Green Bay as well as the Vikings.
Okay.
They're in trouble.
Okay.
They're in trouble.
Okay.
Jonathan,
at least the Lions have an offense and a real quarterback, even though he kind of sucks it up at times, but he can still throw for 4,000 yards. Jay Cutler, nice 3,200-yard season for him.
You know,
Jonathan,
Cutler
what do you
had
think,
a really
buddy?
Good year last year. You want to ignore that?
Just
watch. Just watch. The haters, the doubters, they can hate all they want. Just watch.
A good year. Hold on a minute. A good year. Jonathan, I'm going to go to you. Did Cutler have a good year last year?
Well, he did have his career best 1.9 touchdown to interception ratio.
Oh,
so it's always nice when he throws more touchdowns than interceptions. I mean, I don't think Cutler was terrible last year. I mean, obviously the Bears had their issues, whether it was injuries or whatnot. You know, and they definitely have some talent to be a competitive team. It's going to rely more on the Bears' defense to improve, I think, than the offense. Their defense has struggled of late. And just like my team, you know, it's one of the things where they had such a dominant defense for so long. And then the older guys finally hit that point where they couldn't be there anymore, and they hadn't replenished the stock enough. So it's growing pains.
I have them finishing third. If you'd like to call in, 646-716-5564. Well, looks like in the NFL, Cam Newton's having.
Too, but I have them finishing with a winning record.
What does a winning record mean? You expect the Bears to win 8 games? Is that a winning season? I'm asking because if you expect them to win 8, really look at your Chicago Bears. They have Alshon Jeffries. He's going to be doubled down the whole year. It's their only weapon. They lost Forte. They have nobody in the wide receiving position at all. They're
Kevin White
at the running back.
Alshon
Jeffries. Well, listen, I'm not impressed with Langford. I know a lot of people like him, but I'm not a Langford fan because I think when you get somebody good on him, you're done. I think he's done. But it'll be, you know, offensively, this is a football team that's going to have to score more than 20 points a game to win, and Jay Cutler's not getting that job done. He threw for 3,659 yards. Good quarterbacks are throwing for 4,200 yards and more. He's pedestrian at best. And listen, you call me a Jay Cutler hater, this is my first year. I've been behind this guy since he's been in Denver, calling him the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't done anything since he's been in Chicago. He's been there since 2009, since we went on air. This is a football team that has not got the job done with Jay Cutler at the quarterback position.
You want okay. Talk to me in a month and a half, Sonny, and we'll be seeing what you're saying.
Sure.
Right. Quinn, you remember last year when I told you and Cuervo were on here and I said y'all start out like 1-5 and both of you got mad at me?
I wasn't expecting much last year. I knew we'd suck last year.
No, you didn't. I'll go back and play the tape. I've got it saved, remember. You and Cuervo were crying on air. Y'all were both hugging each other, crying, dropping each other.
So it's the Auburn-Chicago show.
Well, you can look at my Facebook post. I didn't expect anything from the Bears.
Well, Jonathan wants to talk about something besides Auburn and Chicago. Jonathan, go ahead.
How about the Buccaneers?
Well, come on now. Let's be nice. I don't have much to say about
you. You got to admit that Auburn story had to come out tonight. I mean, we had to talk about that.
Of course. Now, I just want to put this out there. You know, as my quarterback, during practice, I want to say it was today. They were trying to lead a Jameis chant, and he turned around, so everybody shut up and start chanting Tampa Bay, and said, you know, we're one team, and we need to, you know, we need everybody to get behind the team and not just one player. And I was very proud to see that kind of leadership from our quarterback. I think he's making the right steps forward. I think the Bucs could have a better year than last year, which isn't really saying.
What about the sophomore slump, though?
It's funny with Jameis. I'm more worried about our receivers than I am him. I mean, Vince was injured last year, and Mike has his issues with the drops and his attitude, and we really don't have a number three. Tight end, we have Safarian Jenkins, who got kicked out of the first day of OTAs. He was off injured. Our best tight end might be Cameron Brayton. He's from Harvard. So, you know, it's going to be a good offensive line. You know, Doug Martin hopefully doesn't let the money just go straight to his head, even though knowing what I know about Doug, he will. You know, so I'm hoping that it's more of the weapons around Jameis don't regress as much as him, because I still think his game, the way he plays, can translate. Whereas sophomore slump, I think it's me more worried about guys who are dual-threat quarterbacks like we saw with RG3 and what we could potentially see from Mariota. You know, people said Mariota had a really good year last year, and I look back at it, and it's like, yeah, he had bright moments, don't get me wrong, but if Mariota regresses
started
from last year's form, I'd be afraid. And he had a lot of turnovers.
He started well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he started well, and then once they figured him out.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he had 10 fumbles last year. That's unacceptable.
That's what happens when you're .180 trying to carry the football, Sonny.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at the same time, Jonathan, I think, is spot on. I think that the Buccaneers have to worry about the weapons that they're going to give Jameis Winston, which is not very much. I am right there with you on that call. Jameis Winston could be the second coming, but if he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to, it's just going to look worse than it really is, and he's going to fall into that situation there in Tampa Bay.
I mean, we're already looking at what receivers we're going to draft next year. That doesn't
absolutely
worry you. I mean, I'm sitting there saying, hey, let's draft Treadwell. No, we're going to draft a cornerback. Why? We have so much money tied up in our corners. Why are we drafting another one? I would have, you know, it's a situation where I think our management is trying to rebuild the defense to its prior levels so that they can, because they looked at it and said, well, we won a Super Bowl with Keyshawn and McCardell and Michael Pittman, you know, and Brad Johnson. So, you know, let's build a great defense again and then let the offense come. So that worries me. But I'm a very passive Bucs fan. You're not – this isn't 2006.
Well, guys, before we – you know, I want to talk about something tonight that last year we can go bring back the tapes in college football here. You remember last year when they announced that the college – off would be on New Year's Eve. This committee here was so smart that they thought they were going to change history here and it was going to be successful. Well, Jonathan, they changed their minds, believe it or not. They changed their mind. They're going to move it off New Year's Eve. It might not be this year because I think it falls on a weekend and it's fine, but I think these idiots that are picking teams to be in the top Final Four can't even pick the day of the week or the year to play this game. What do you think about these complete morons, the committee, moving the game, first of all, to New Year's Eve, and now backtracking all of a sudden after the ratings were lowest it's ever been?
Well, I'm more laughing at the fact that the month after the playoff, there's no way we're moving it. It was a success. How could we move it off of New Year's Eve? And now here we go, end of July, and we can't move it until 2018 because everything's already set in stone until then. But, yeah, we're going to move it off New Year's Eve. Oh, really? Did you idiots just figure out that didn't work? I mean, are you that stupid? Are you that dense? Are you that dumb?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
And these are people picking – and these are people that are picking the Final Four teams. I mean, the people that put Oklahoma in last year, we all laughed. I mean, the people of Michigan State in there getting beat by 50. I mean, these are people making big decisions, Quinn. And they can't even get it right. I mean, they can't even get the day right. You don't realize people, and I was so pissed because I was like, people love college football, but a lot of people are married. They have traditions of New Year's Eve. The wife's not going to let them watch college football, and the ratings suffered. The national championship game, Quinn, was good. But as far as New Year's Eve, we knew that was going to be a failure here at Way In Sports Talk.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me either way what day they have it. I don't care.
What does it matter about you? I'm talking about the biggest part of the world, though. You don't mean shit. But I'm talking about the majority. You know what I mean? The majority of people, not just you. I know I don't either. I'll stay home New Year's Eve and watch it. But the majority of people out there that like to party, that's what I was saying. I wasn't meaning to be disrespectful to you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, to me, like, I'm not really angry with the committee about that. Like, I don't know. I guess since it doesn't bother me, I guess then I'm not bothered. Like, I'm not thinking about what the rest of the world thinks or what they do.
You're selfish. You're selfish. let's bring Sonny on and see what he says. Sonny, do you know what we're talking about?
Nope, I just got back. I got kicked off. My battery died.
On this show, on Way In Sports Talk, we bashed the committee for putting the playoff game on December 31st. They thought it was going to be awesome. They got the lowest ratings. They said they weren't going to change it. Now, all of a sudden, they're changing it now. So how stupid is this committee that's picking the four teams that's going to play for the championship of football?
Well, they're not very bright, but, I mean, I haven't been a big fan of this committee, but look at this year. I mean, there's games that are happening in the NFL on New Year's Day this year. So they're definitely going to have to scramble and move some games around there in college football.
So the NFL is playing on January 1st?
That is correct. They got games on January 1st.
That is dumb of the NFL. That is stupid of the NFL.
Well, January 1st
is
a Sunday.
No. It's perfect. They're not going to lose any viewers. I don't think – I mean, this is playoff time.
I think so.
It's playoff time right there.
I'm not watching
Michigan in a bowl game on week 17, which is when the first of the year is. Week 17 of the NFL, you couldn't catch me watching college football all day long at all.
It's tradition, buddy.
Good the NFL is.
It's tradition, though. I'm talking about the world. New Year's Day, Jonathan, tell me what you think. To me, I wake up in the morning, I get ready for that 10 o'clock Outback Bowl or whatever, Citrus Bowl. You have the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. That's what it's about. I don't know what the NFL's doing trying to do this.
But it falls on a Sunday, January 1st. What do you expect them to do?
Right. We see this. Every time New Year's Day is a Sunday, the college bowl season kind of works around it. This year it's going to be you have four games on the 31st and four games on the 2nd. And, this is something that I become accustomed to. At this point. But I'm with you. Every other year where the NFL is not on that day, I'm with you, Brian. I think that should be college football's day. That's when you have the Citrus Bowl, the Tax Slayer Bowl, the Outback Bowl. You know, you have the three Florida Bowl games early in the day. You're going to have the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock. You know, I mean, that's how that works. So, I do think that...
So when is the Rose Bowl going to be played then?
It's actually going to be played January 2nd.
That sucks. See, Sonny's, I love the NFL too, Sonny, and I'm bringing you back on, but week 17 of the NFL usually is not that great. Most starters are resting. Nobody's playing.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm talking about teams that are on the bubble, getting ready, trying to make the playoffs. Last year's week 17, man, was crazy. Week 16 and 17 were crazy. I mean, so on Christmas Eve The days that it's following on Christmas Eve and New Year's. Oh man, It's the best Christmas ever. I'm not interested in watching those stupid bowls. The only bowls that I care about are the big ones. I don't care about Outback Bowl. It means nothing. I mean, so, but when it comes down to who's going to play in the playoffs, I'm going to watch the NFL. I don't, and I'm not a big college bowl fan anyway. But, you know, even if Michigan was playing, and that's my team, I can give a rat's fat ass on them on week 16 and 17 in the NFL. Too much going on, too many teams that might be able to make it in. Will certain games fall a certain way to where
Sonny
might slide in? That's I'm watching.
Sonny, let's ask what Cuervo thinks. Cuervo, January 1st on a Sunday, would you rather watch NFL or college?
So that's what Sonny's ranting about. I was wondering for a second. I was like, what's he going off on a tangent about this time?
And the Bears sucking. He ranted about that too.
Yes, he did.
Oh man, see that's why I'm looking for new employment.
That's why you're late.
Sonny's a big hater of the Bears. He's blinded. He doesn't realize how improved the Bears will be this year.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to say is the Monsters of the Midway are back. But that's all there is to it.
Oh, I agree on that dream a little bit longer.
All right, so what's the question,
Brian? Cuervo, you call in with a couple minutes left, yeah. Do you remember we talked about it, how the committee made a mistake by putting the playoff games on New Year's Eve? Now they're changing and going forward, they're going to do it. But this year, the first falls on a Sunday, so I think they're going to keep it like it is. But the NFL is Sunday, week 17. I would rather watch bowl games than I would week 17 of the NFL on Sunday. What do you think? Because January 1st to me is about football, and that's what it's always been about.
And you know, it's been like that for years. So now here's the thing, though. The NFL is probably the one league, the one sport that can bully around college football on January 1st. You try to put NBA games on January 1st. Good luck with that. You try putting on hockey with their you know, Winter Classic. Yeah, good luck with that too. But the NFL is probably the one sport that can bully around college football on New Year's Day and get away with it to an extent. Now, me personally, I've New Year's Day to me has always been about bowl games, and that's not going to change. So, because here's the thing too, the January 1st games I believe are either week 16 or 17. Now, most of those games aren't going to mean jack to the playoff picture or anything like that. But when it comes to New Year's, the bowl game.
Somebody talking in the background.
You know, the playoff. It's my wife. yeah, she's on the phone too. But you know, I mean, you're talking about college football playoffs here. Those games are a lot bigger than week 16 in the NFL.
Yeah, well, let Cuervo, I'm not going to say anything to your wife, Sonny. She may kill me if I say, hey, man, would you please mute your phone while Cuervo's trying to talk?
He will mute the phone.
I'm joking. My wife takes precedent over anything, too. So she rules it. So whatever she does, that's fine. But I'm a college football guy. And but you know what? Over the last 5 years, I'd say over 3 years, I've really fallen in love with the NFL. I don't know why, Sonny. Maybe it's Red Zone. Maybe it's the NFL Sunday ticket I have. But the product they put on the field every Sunday is just phenomenal. I mean, it's just when you watch college football and you watch NFL football, there's a big difference. There's just a big difference when you watch the two and you put them side by side. I mean, I love college because school spirit, but I just love NFL right now. It's such a good sport.
And the NFL has done really good in week 16 and 17 because if you look at every team's schedule, they're all division games in week 16 and 17. So that is huge too. The NFL has got it right. And I'm right with Cuervo. If there's anybody that can kick college football off its pedestal on New Year's Day, it is the NFL. And let's be honest, it should be the NFL. It's where the big boys play. Okay, that's where those college boys want to be. So to me, I mean, I'm just not the College Bowl guy. I'll watch the big ones. I'll watch the big four or five. But how many bowls are there this year? 18?
Well, I make so much money off of them, though. But I make so much money off of them, though. It's crazy.
Well, you're a betting man. See, and I'm not going to be betting on college football. If I'm going to bet, I'm betting on the NFL.
I just pay $5,000.
You get crazy plays like Auburn kicking. You have a $400 bet on a game, and then Auburn will go ahead and run back a kick and screw up the damn line. So there you go.
Yeah, I got $5,000 to make up, Jonathan. I better hurry up. I better get on some preseason games or something.
Oh, preseason's usually easy.
No, it ain't. It's not easy.
You know you're
a
betting junkie if you're betting on preseason games.
You know, they're actually kind of easy.
I'm like a lifetime 13% in the preseason. I suck. I mean, it's like you can't – I mean, you might as well flip a coin. And maybe I'll call you for advice, Jonathan. But hey, I was going to make another announcement that we're looking at FanDuel wants to sponsor our show during football season. I haven't decided what we're going to do yet. But we are right now on ultimatesportstalk.com. You can hear us there right now as well as Block Talk Radio. A lot of people are listening to us, Sonny, on another station that we've been, ultimatesportstalk.com. They've been going there and listening more, not as much, but close to as much there as on Block Talk Radio. You ought to check on getting your show on maybe something like that extra and give it some extra airtime. That can help you.
Well, that depends if they got the opening on Sunday morning, because that's when we're doing it, Sunday morning, 9 to noon, Central Standard Time, taking you up to Red Zone. And by the way, the reason why you do like the NFL now is because you can see more of the games because of Red Zone, and you can see more of the game when it matters, like when they're going to score.
I love it. But I love the Sunday ticket, too, guys. I'm telling you, if you don't have DirecTV, Jonathan, do you have DirecTV?
No, the house I just moved into has
Dish. Yeah, get rid of that crap. Yeah. Get DirecTV. Get the Sunday ticket. You got to get I think it's called the Ultimate Package. It shows all the games and the day after Sunday, Monday, all the games are condensed into 30 minutes. You can watch every play of every game in 30 minutes, Cuervo. Is that not amazing? I mean, I love Red Zone. But I also like watching the games as well, and that gives me a chance to watch every NFL game I want to in a matter of hours.
Well, Brian, let's not forget, people can also listen to us on iTunes, and I know we're getting a good chunk of listeners off of that.
iTunes, yeah, that's right. That's right. I just want to know how many – people in the country, other countries listen to it. That's what I really want to know.
Did you say that was Ultimate? What is it?
UltimateSportsTalk.com. Pull it up.
I'll pull it up.
And iTunes. Jonathan, tell us about iTunes real quick.
I flicked through it about 5 months ago and found out. They actually have all of our shows from day one. So if you want to hear us back in August of 2012, we're there. At that point, you can hear Trey's pretty voice. And it has every episode. There's like a 15-second intro commercial from Blog Talk Radio, and then it just rolls on through. And that's what I've been using to download and save to my own personal database. But all you got to do is go to iTunes and type in Wayne Sports Talk or type in Tarvino, and T-A-R-V-I-N-O, it'll pull up.
That makes me feel good, Quinn. And, Quinn, we get to hear you cry every now and then when you come on. Forget about that.
The Notre Dame tears.
Yeah, and Cuervo, I'm going to try to bring you back if your phone's working. Let me see if Cuervo's here. Hold on just a second. I don't know where Quinn's on mute for some reason. Cuervo.
I'm here, buddy.
Okay, I think your phone, your wife is yelling at you, cussing at you, so I had to mute you.
Oh, that's all the time. It's all day, every day, Brian.
And since Sunday's on, we're going to make an announcement. We are adding to the panel a Weigh-In Sports Talk, and Cuervo has resigned from That Being Said and will join Weigh-In Sports Talk on the panel.
Whoa.
What do you think about that, Sonny?
That's good. That's good. It makes it a better show.
Hey, I went to iTunes and I pulled up Weigh-In Sports Talk, and it shows our Weigh-In Sports Talk. It shows Ultimate Sports Talk, but it also shows WFNZ Sports Radio, The Fan, WFNZ. What is that, Jonathan?
I have no idea.
Somebody's stealing my materials, what it is.
You'll find that most of it, ours gets stolen all over the place. I put it in there, and it started a long time ago, and it's just I can't keep track of it. There's so many people stealing. They want content, and they'll steal it. So you're probably on more than you know.
and also, just I'll give an advertisement out to Donald Trump. He asked me to. If you want a signed copy of his book, The Art of the Deal, for $189, send him $189. You'll get an autographed copy, guys, just so you know.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
Thoughts on that? How does a billionaire send me an email asking for money?
That's a good question.
We got some phone problems, guys. We got to get this shit figured out, man. I don't know. I mean, we got to get landlines. Somebody go get a landline and talk on it. I don't know. But man, Jonathan, I can't even hear sometimes with the phones the way they are.
Oh, yeah, no,
but
I
anyway,
hopped on my
man,
landline from the get.
Yeah. We got to invest in landlines. We're going to be sponsored and making money off this shit. I got to be able to get paid. I get paid. But guys, we're going to get to the off at 8:30 right now tonight. Cuervo, Sonny, Quinn, Jonathan, thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be on Sunday night for sure. We're going to kick off with the boys of fall. And we're going to really get into some college football talk. By then, maybe I'll come down off this anger of Javon Robinson getting kicked off of Auburn day one of practice here. Cuervo, you're listening. Javon Robinson, Auburn starting running back, dismissed from the program. Don't know why yet, but just thought you ought to know that. But again, listen to us on iTunes, like Jonathan said. You can listen to us on ultimatesportstalk.com, blogtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Weigh-In Sports. Get us on Facebook. If you want us, you got us, Jonathan. That's just the way it goes. If you want us, you got us.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. So, guys, Sunday morning. Sonny Clark, usually 11 a.m. Eastern. That being said, make sure you go over there and listen to him and Cuervo. I went in, Jonathan does some time, the scorekeeper, Big Dog, whoever can join. If you want the best NFL football to talk around, there it is. And I'll need to bring Cuervo on real quick. Cuervo, on campus with Cuervo, when are you going to start that, my friend?
Yeah, so that's going to start either – I haven't decided yet, but it's either going to be Friday night or it's going to be Saturday right after Sports Talk with the guys. Probably going to be on Saturday,
okay. I kind of like that Friday night feel. If we can do that sometimes, if you don't mind. I just like that. It's just
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. I mean, we can mix it up. We can mix
it
up.
Yeah, every now and then if you could do that. Saturday morning's fun, but a lot of times I'm traveling to games or doing that, which I don't know how many I'll go to this year if Javon Robinson's not going to be playing.
Yeah,
but,
Brian, I saw that, and I don't know. I know you said you don't know why, but I so it's true. I thought it was like one of those hoax posts or something like that.
No, I wish
that's
it was.
Real.
I wish it was a hoax. You know, Trey Mason's missing now. Maybe they put him in Austin right now. They're going to put him in.
Yeah, he's a deserter
know,
for the Rams. He's a deserter right now. I don't know what happened to him.
He's got some mental health issues that they're trying to apparently his family's trying to deal with.
It's called carrying the ball 40 times a game at Auburn, getting concussions. Probably it's probably what's going on. But anyway, guys, on campus with Cuervo, don't miss that show on Friday or Saturday. We'll announce it on our Weigh-In Sports Talk show. That being said, Sunday morning, you got sports talk with the guys Saturday morning at 9 Eastern. Jonathan, we're covered all the way around, man. As Scorekeeper says, it's called the Alliance, really. It's like we got all these experts and shows, and if you're missing one of them, you're missing out because you want baseball, hockey, stuff like that, you listen to Scorekeeper and those guys. You want NFL, you listen to Sonny. And then you want college, you come here. And you want college, you get on campus with Cuervo. We do NFL as well. So, man, if you want it, you get it. But if you're a Bears fan, I feel bad for you. All right, Jonathan, we're off. We're getting out of here Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here. And this is what team we're talking about. No, not Auburn. No, not Florida State.
Well, I was thinking about doing an episode of the hated team. So I was thinking about throwing, you know, we could talk about Florida and Miami and Alabama, schools of that nature.
Okay. Florida has that. Florida, Alabama, and Miami Sunday night. We will talk about those three teams. We'll talk about how dirty the programs are, if you want to, and talk about what they'll do to win a game. So good job. We'll do those three. 7 p.m. Eastern, guys. Take care. God bless. Have a good week. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Bye, y'all.